Triple M's.
Oh! That has gone sideways!
My word!
That has gone sideways!
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
Bloody hell!
It was a day for heavy bales as we actually managed some meaningful cricket between the wet and the wind on day one of the fourth Ashes test at Old Trafford, and the Aussies motored along after the customary 20-odd from the openers. Meanwhile, the England bowlers had patches when they were as much disarray as their government. The Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast is here to take you through every raindrop, run and beach ball. I'm your host, Rudy Etzel, and I'm joined by Tommy Beers, who's climbed off his deathbed just to give you your 20 minutes of amateur cricket analysis today.
Good to be here, mate. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Oh, good on you. We've got the our human spreadsheet, Ethan Meldrum, over there.
Part spreadsheet. At least 50%.
And our resident pom, Matt Pilotti. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Better than either our bowling or our government, you quite like to say.
I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you. Everyone let him off this Nathan Lyon slander from last pod, and I'm not having it.
Accurate
I'm
analysis.
I'm simply not having it. Imagine if England had ever had a spinner even half as good as Nathan Lyon. He'd be on the £5 note. We had to deal with years and years of listening to Graham Swan. Swanee will tear you apart again. Nathan Lyon has 100 more wickets at him.
There's finally an Ashes spinner with two working elbows.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like Graham Swan, and he retired midway through.
Finally a spinner who averages...
He thought he'd get a little retirement tour of Australia and then went out on top of the Prindival stand at the Wacker. You've got to be kidding me, Bloody.
Finally
you
an Ashes spinner.
You would about Graham
kill
Swan.
For a player, a bowler as good as Nathan Lyon.
What I've pointed out...
He's going to end up with more wickets than James Anderson.
All I've pointed out is that he was out bowled by Jack Bloody Leach three times out of four innings, and when you had 360 runs to defend to win, he only took two wickets and he fumbled your run out. All means great bowler, not the GOAT. You're using the term GOAT purely ironically.
Hey, right, okay, mate. Yeah, again, if you had a, he'll end up taking more wickets than any England bowler in history.
Well, if he doesn't take him in this match to win you the test, then he is an absolute sham, let alone a GOAT.
Yeah, right. Okay, mate. Sure. Let's see how your little Jack Leach.
Yeah,
let's see how your little Jack Leach is going in about 5 years' time when Nathan Lyon's taken 600 wickets at the age of 36.
Amazing how the...
He won't last the series if he doesn't win this test.
Nathan Lyon. Yeah, right.
Amazing how the Englishman on this podcast is going full tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah.
And taking down the best spinner the Ashes has ever seen.
They're so enamoured with, their spinning stocks are so low, they idolise Shane Warne. Took 100 wickets for us.
We certainly don't. Shane
you absolutely do.
That's English Brexit correspondent Shane Warne.
Yeah. All right. Let's focus up a bit here. When did you guys call the night? When did you go to bed? I called it just after lunch.
Yeah, I was pretty heavy on the cold and flus last night, trying to get myself back in the office today. But as soon as I saw there was rain after the lunch break, I just hit the hay and that was me done.
Bank those couple of hours for the rest of the test, Peter.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah, me as well.
Yeah,
exactly the same. Yeah, as soon as you see Manchester, those blacks, it wasn't even grey skies, there were black skies, covers everywhere. Done.
What's the final straw for me was when they replayed the last session of
the Headingley test. Yeah. See you later.
What on earth were they thinking? If they want to retain
this
people...
This is Australian television.
Yeah, piss off. I'm not listening.
How do we keep up Channel 9's ratings?
I'm not copping this at all.
Ben Stokes.
Yeah.
Talk about misjudging your audience.
It's how cold...
The room.
How cold did it look there?
Yeah, it looked pretty grim, didn't it?
So cold. And today's not that much better. There's a brilliant... I was looking at this just a minute ago before we started the pod. The temperature in Manchester today, like day two of the test, at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So pretty much the best time of day. The temperature in Manchester is going to be 14 degrees.
Is this
the best comparison for me is if you then compare it.
It's 16 degrees currently.
Oh, midnight. To midnight in Melbourne, the wettest and coldest in the middle of winter in Australia. Tonight is going to be 12 degrees. It's 2 degrees different at midnight in Melbourne compared to the middle of the afternoon in Manchester.
Jeez, what really are we doing? Really be wheeling out the SPF 50 over in Manchester.
So when we actually got some cricket, like I said, the Aussies, the customary 20-odd from the openers, Dave Warner is in awful, awful strife, isn't he?
He's in a world of hurt at the moment. Broad's just got him so figured out right now. He's got him on toast, and he's just, every time he's at the top of his run, he's just rubbing his hands going, let me at him, because he's just taking the absolute piss out of him.
That was as soft as you'll ever see from a bloke who's as hard-nutted as Dave Warner.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He literally has no idea what to do at the moment.
It's just, he's gone against everything that he knows. Like, he hasn't looked to be aggressive or take down the bowling at any stage during this Ashes series. And coming off a World Cup where he made a squillion runs, he's not shown any of that in the
intent,
red ball.
Yeah.
Where,
you don't mind him getting a good ball because that happens to open his
potential. Yeah, getting out to crap ones.
It was 2 feet outside off.
Yeah, awful. Mm.
Yeah, I reckon you'd put me in Dave Warner's body at that point. I reckon I would have not got out in that ball.
This is stop. He's already dead territory.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
Stuart Broad has him wrapped around his finger.
Yeah, and they don't really have any options, Australia. They're probably not going to drop Dave Warner anyway, but they've already jettisoned Cam Bancroft.
Yeah. I flagged this a few tests ago that if he keeps playing this way, they can't persist with him, and it'll be obviously the second inning's still to come, but geez. He's really testing the selectors now, I feel.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. But he hasn't really ever shown anything in England before. This is not.
No.
This is actually in keeping with his form.
There's some great stats around yesterday actually that shared his performance in Australia, which is excellent. His performance in South Africa, which is excellent. But other than that, wherever he goes around the world, he doesn't really score. I think Bangladesh was also excellent, but you can't really rate that. The rest of the places that he tours, he averages in the 20s, and England's one of those. It's not really good enough.
No, it's pretty poor. For a guy who's one of the few world-class batsmen in this series, he shouldn't be struggling so bad.
He is a world-class flat-track bully.
Well, yeah, fair enough. I dare you to say it to his face. Speaking of world-class...
We'll go full Joe Root on you. Ben Stokes.
Speaking of world-class, the Aussies look like they've unearthed a gun in Marnus Labuschagne. I don't know what Justin Lang has done, but I must praise him for getting Marnus to this point. He's made another 60, so he's made, what's that, 450s plus scores in the bounce in the Ashes so far. At what point do we start talking about when he needs to actually convert into tons, though?
Not yet.
In like, I don't know, 2 years? Yeah.
So what's...
I'm just glad a bloke's actually passing 50 that's not named Steve Smith.
A 50 is a conversion in this series. Have a look at how everyone else is batting. You take Smith out of it, and no one else is making any runs whatsoever, and this is a bloke who's averaging... What, 50, 60, something around there? Like, mate, we're not... Don't worry. You just throw your wicket away at 60 every time, mate. We're not fast.
He's converting single figures to double.
Yeah. Rarity.
He's going big.
Yeah. In Marnus, what you've kind of got, which is really nice, is that you've discovered the Australian Jonathan Trott in every way. And he was absolutely vilified for much the same thing. He used to consistently score 50 every time he went out there. Was... told off for batting either too slow or not turning them into hundreds. He was so dependable and such a crucial part of an England side for years and years. Absolutely celebrate him, welcome him, let him score 60s, 70s and keep going at that rate because he's a huge asset, especially in the context of this series.
Except Marnus can play the short ball.
Yeah. You also forget that he came in at 1-for-1. He was up against it, new ball, pressure on, they had all the momentum, like he dug in,
it was
got to lunch, he was 49 not out at lunch, and I just thought this bloke just knows his game, he just knows where he sits and he knows where he can score.
It was a decent rock that got through him as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it was Overton bent the back there. Was it talking to my mate last night who was saying that there's no more English looking bloke around than Craig Overton.
Yeah,
he looks like a rugby league player or like a career centre back for Shrewsbury who still smokes. You know,
real League Two journeyman.
He's been in a few working men's clubs down.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. He looks like he's only turned to cricket because Thatcher closed the mine. Yeah. So. Play cricket round here. It's pretty good stuff. Is England bowling though, aside from that rock from Overton? Not really very impressive, I didn't think. Ben Stokes in particular leaked a lot of runs. Overton, other than that wicket, went for 4+ and over. Stuart Broad, 3.5. Your mate Jack Leach, who is apparently the second coming of Shane Warne, is gone for 3 and over.
My point is that Jack Leach very much isn't, but he's still out bowled Lyon a few times. But anyway, moving on from that. No, they were crap, really crap. It's... The only mitigating factor is that wind, which made it a lot harder to bowl and field than it did to bat. But they were nowhere near good enough. They just didn't get the ball in the right mark. And I guess you drop Wokes because he hasn't quite been getting the right line and length into his bowling. You need the guys to step up. I don't mind if Stokes goes for a few runs because he's that aggressive bowler. He's trying to unsettle them. He's going to go for boundaries every now and then. But in the context of the attack was nowhere near convincing and tight enough.
Why do they bring in Craig Overton to bowl third change in League 4 and over?
Yeah, well, I have a real bone to pick with you over this, Bolas.
Well, look, I didn't pick him. I wouldn't have picked him. It's not my selection,
because
believe
you've,
me.
You've been bang on about this for, what, 3.5 tests now?
Yep.
It relates to cowardice.
Yes, it absolutely does.
It is the cowardice of Steve Smith coming in at 4. 22 of the first 48 balls he faced were from Jack Leach. This is a bloke who has been concussed by Jofra Archer standing and bowling 150 k's an hour. Yep.
There was none of that 150 k's last night.
In a test where if England lose, Australia will retain the Ashes. Get on the front foot. Try and get Steve Smith out. He's now, 60, 70, no doubt, whatever he's on.
Just doing Steve Smith.
Joe Root is a coward.
I don't mind that. Fair. I don't mind that at all. I think you've got to be aggressive to win test matches, and England they just weren't at the races yesterday. They seem to feel like they've done all the aggression they needed to do on the last day at Headingley, and they've just packed it up and gone, well, it's a bit windy today. They're all in their blooming jumpers.
So you reckon they won there?
They were scared. I've seen my kids playing Auskick here on a winter morning, rubbing their hands together in kind of the same way that England were fielding yesterday.
Alistair Clarkson running around in Canberra in his undies.
Yes, where was he? Where was he? No, I completely agree that it was nowhere near aggressive.
You reckon they won their Ashes in Headingley, won their Ashes in Leeds, and now they're pretty happy.
I'd like to think.
Ben Stokes is still full of fillets of fish.
Go bowl at Steve Smith's head again and try and go 2-1 up.
Yeah, and speaking of coming off the long run, Tommy Beers, you've really got a bone to pick with Joff, don't you?
Well, I think he set the pace here. Like, in a sense. Like, they had all the momentum. They had an early wicket. And then they've got their tearaway quick, who's renowned for bowling dangerously fast and just vicious deliveries. And he's rolled in his first three overs. He didn't bowl one over 135 k's. He was just placing him up there. Didn't look threatening at all. He gave Marnus a good chance to get his eye in. Then they finally got a look at Smith, and he dug a couple in, but he still didn't get him over 140 k's. And he just gave us the momentum back. He handed it to us.
The ones that he was bowling were flying like way over Johnny Bairstow's outstretched glove.
There was one that went for four byes, but that was 133 k's. He just bowled it way too short, and it bounced over his head, over the keeper's head. So I just couldn't believe it. Like, but the comparison that I made last night to you guys in our group chat was that imagine if Mitchell Starc came in and bowled 130 k's for his first three overs because, he's just working into it. No way. The Aussie public would hound him.
You go for seven and over as
well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's why you're in the team. If you've got the ability to bowl 145, 150 k's, use it. There's going to be a million guys who can bowl 130 k's and bowl better swing bowling than what Jofra can. His X factor is bowling fast.
May as well open in the bowling with Matty Wade.
Open the bowling with Craig Overton. Yeah. Bellotti, your rebuttal?
I would say that Joff was still the most economical bowler, so it wasn't like he was actually...
But he wasn't the most dangerous.
That badly.
The point is
that he's got to be aggressive. I don't disagree at all. He's got to come in there. What was annoying was that he showed it as soon as he got to bowl to Steve Smith. He did bend his back a bit. He got a couple up to head height and above. It's not good enough. He's got to attack. He's got to be aggressive. Having said that, this is a guy who, when you get Jofra Archer, he marches to the beat of his own drum. He will play how he wants to play, and I have absolute confidence that when he wants to run through, he'll run through. It would have just been nice if he decided to do that yesterday.
But that they had to strike early and break that partnership.
And we got two early wickets.
Yeah, but he didn't. You know, like he needed to do. Broad was bringing the heat from one end, and he was giving us nothing. He needed to back that up at the other end and get Australia 3, 4, 5 down. In the first session
and
of that test,
it was
get a run on.
It wasn't exactly a secret either that Labuschagne and Smith hold the keys.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If one of them goes early, you've broken the back of the Australian batting because then it's Head, Wade, Payne, and the bowlers.
Get back into the left-handers in that middle order that have been our weakness. Yeah,
our series here, if you will.
England will not win this test if there is not a lot more aggression than we showed in day one. Yeah. And you're right to say Jofra's the key to that.
Yeah, it's all well and good to say this now. He might come out tomorrow and just blast the joint.
Might be all out for 200.
Yeah. Is there any rain around Bulotti?
Yeah, there's going to be some rain just to let people plan their night's sleep. Looks like the rain is going to hit the middle session, so we'll beautiful. Be able to watch the 8 to 10. Yeah. There's no real point. It looks like it's...
Another replay of the Headingley.
You might want to...
Just give us amazing Adelaide again, for God's sake.
God's sake. Or, you know what? Just any one of the 50 routine wins from 1989 to 2003. Yeah, any of those will do.
It's the Room Channel 9. Yeah.
They keep me awake at night, as it is, to be honest. No, it'd be almost worth those setting the alarm for the last session. It looks like there'd probably be an extended session, perhaps under grey skies for the end of the day. So that could be quite interesting.
Yes, yeah. Maybe the Aussies will be bowling a bit again by then, and maybe the Aussies will show some intent with the ball. Actually, you know what? The deck looks beautiful for batting, doesn't it? And the outfield looks lightning. Every time the ball pierced that ring, the fielders weren't getting anywhere near it.
Important toss to win.
Yeah.
There are a few early boundaries that just careered away.
Yeah.
If the Harris square drive, a couple of those just flew.
If someone can go with Smith here, and I tell you what, if the Aussies put on another 80 before Matt Wade gets in, look out, because he'll be licking his lips if he can come in at 4 for 250.
Even Travis Head has the tools to do that.
Absolutely, he does. This deck has no demons in it. It's all going to be...
Well, Head's already a run of ball 18 or whatever he is.
That's right.
Generally, if you win the toss and bat under 300's a failure, it's a massive failure on this pitch. You've got to be getting 400. You've got to get to 400 and then set England at least 250 on the final day or so. And then
they're going to get Nathan Lyon. Yep. It's going to be great. Goated, if you will. Before we go, we'd be remiss not to bring up Steve Waugh's brilliant Facebook post yesterday where he said he was out for lunch with Sir Alan Ferguson, which Sir Alex Ferguson, the older Manchester United manager. Steve Waugh is an old football fan. He's a soccer fan from way back. He could have played for the Socceroos. He would know. He knows who Alex Ferguson is, mate.
He knows the most famous football manager in history.
What he has pulled off there is the ultimate champion.
Oh, yes.
It's the ultimate version of a champion. It's a world-class version of it. What he's done there is he's done that Ron Swanson thing where, you know, Ron Swanson says...
Thank you, Lester.
Yeah, where he goes, I just like to throw in a wrong name every now and then just to let the guys know I don't really care about their lives. That's what Steve Waugh on the international stage. That was a world class champion. If that champion would average 51 and score 12,000. That champion. He has absolutely just still practicing the art
rope.
Practicing the art of mental disintegration at the age of 54 with a knight of the realm.
Where has he got to go from here? Does he get the Queen's name wrong? Does he who's the next person that he queues up and just destroys?
Somehow makes Donald Trump and champs him so hard that he starts a nuclear war with Australia. I don't know.
The sky's the limit. What
he'll do, actually? He'll go to Boris Johnson and he'll somehow bring about Brexit being cancelled. That's his next agenda.
We can only hope.
No one is safe now. No one is safe.
Yeah. All right. That's about enough from us. We've gone off piste again. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully we get a bit of play tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.